Lots more to talk with Dr. Edward Bynum about, including your phone calls. And one of his books, The Dream Life of Families, The Spiritual Connection. We'll get into that, too, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Edward Bynum with us. We'll get to your calls, too. Edward, the book, The Dream Life of Families, The Spiritual Connection. Tell me about that.
Well, that came out this year from my publisher, Inner Traditions, and it's right there on the web. It's a good paperback, but I've been working on that for a good decade plus. And what I wanted to do, what I did in that book, is I wanted to take less of an anecdotal, and I wanted to bring more of the clinical background, mm-hmm. the medical background of dreams, and the scientific background of dreams. So it's not the kind of book where you open up the page X and look up the word run or fall or dog and see this is what this, the dream means. It's not that kind of book. No, it's a book about how families dream in a coordinated fashion after a while, how medical illness affects our dreams, how the stage of life that we're in affects the symbolism in our dreams. Like there's a whole chapter on pregnancy and the family, which is a pretty momentous event, and how the pregnancy of the mother in a family affects everybody's dreams. The father dreams differently. His dreams are influenced by the pregnancy cycle of his wife, his partner. If someone is going through a particularly difficult time around a medical illness, mm-hmm. because that profoundly affects everybody in the waking state, it's going to affect your dreams also. And that in terms of the content of the dreams, what you're preoccupied with, you know, we're all intimately connected with each other.
Do babies have dreams?
More likely to occur.
Do babies dream?
Yes, but we don't know what the content of their dream is simply because they don't have the language
right.
to convey that. But babies dream. And you know how you can tell that babies are dreaming? The same way you can tell when a dog is dreaming. When you're dreaming, your eyes are moving back and forth in a coordinated fashion.
You can see the eyelids fluttering a little bit.
You can see the eyelids not only fluttering, but you can see the movement of the rapid eye movement underneath the eyelids going back and forth or up and down. It's like following an image in the dream. Also, sometimes if the hands or the toes will move a little bit, and you can tell that the person is having some sort of event, but nature has provided us a way with dissociating or cutting off our behavior from what's going on in our dreams at the moment. Otherwise, we'd get up and we'd act out the event in the dream, and that's obviously not a good idea. That's a bad idea.
Sometimes when my Labrador was asleep, you could see her eyes fluttering, but you could hear her too. She would go like, she'd make sounds while she was asleep.
She's like she's running across the field or whatever she was doing, and she's having some experience, and she's barking or chasing something or so forth. Now, it's highly unlikely that your lab, your sweet lab, was aware that it was dreaming, and that when she woke up, that was just a dream.
Right, thought it was the real thing, right?
It thought it was the real thing, and for her, you know, there's, you know, whatever is, whereas for us, we make a distinction between our dream life, our waking life, and the life of reality. And by the way, our dream life and waking life both reflect reality. It's just that they reflect reality differently.
How commonplace are shared dreams among family members?
Well, most of us dream about members of our family somewhere around between 15 and 25% of the time. That's right. In some 15 to 25% of the time, depending on the person, some aspect of your dream life involves somebody in your family, a brother, a sister, mom, dad, cousin, somebody like that shows up in our dreams. And so that's why when we have a crisis dream or telepathic dream, we later on verify it because it's been within somebody in our family who we know. And so we say, did this happen to you or did that happen to you? It rarely happens among strangers, but it happens a great deal among intimates, family members, really, really close friends, and certainly between couples in different relationships. They share the same dreams, they share the same images, and a coordinating tendency happens after a while. And I would say the actual psychic dreams between people are probably somewhere between 1% and 5% at the most. The psychic dreams are very interesting, that's for sure, but they are a relatively small percentage of the dreams that we're having most of the time. But they're really interesting. They're really interesting.
All right, let's go to the phones. Gina in Slidell, Louisiana on the wildcard line. Hello, Gina. Go ahead. Hello, Gina. Nope, she's gone in her dream state, to be sure. let's go to Andrew in St. Louis, first-time caller. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hello, George. Hello, doctor.
Hey there.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
I had a dream probably, 8 to 10 years ago, and I've only had it once, and it's haunted me for a long time. Woke up, middle of the night, cold sweats, shaken, scared to death, and this dream, my aunt had passed away, and my uncle had her service on his farm and buried her there. And anyways, these pack of coyotes had actually dug her up and was dragging her across the field.
Oh my.
And it terrified me as an adult. And
oh, that would be horrible.
Less than 2 weeks later, I'd found out my aunt was diagnosed with MS. And it's eventually going to take her life. It's just, I don't know. That's my
strong dream.
So,
it's a very powerful dream, and that occurs in the family, and that's a combination of what we were talking about earlier called a prodromal dream. It's a dream about a medical illness, for sure, but it's also crisis telepathy. It's crisis telepathy. Something is happening to somebody that we have an intimate connection with, one. Two, they're part of our family. And three, it is very intense for one person, and we're in a quiet, relaxed, open state, either relaxing or dreaming, and the event occurs. And that is the pattern that we've been able to, in the scientific community, in the clinical community, sort of isolate that phenomena. Those are the conditions in which it happens. And there's a section in the Dream Life of Families where I talk about that in some detail. And, most of the time in crisis telepathy, it's unpleasant. It's unpleasant.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, is it?
Well, it's not a matter of good or bad. It just is, and it's usually unpleasant. For some reason, the great happiness happening to somebody doesn't affect us coming in our dreams the same way as a crisis and something dangerous happening to somebody. I don't know why. We don't know why. We don't know why.
What causes this connectivity between people, whether family members or friends, but there is that connection? What does it?
Well, we're involved in a web of relationships, physical, emotional, and psychological, and actual life events are occurring, and they're coordinating. And we all will share that event or perspective from a slightly different point of view. The analogy I use is like a hologram. That's that photograph, that three-dimensional photograph, that you take that photograph, and if you take a tiny fragment, just a tiny fragment of that photograph, and you shine a light through it, you can reconstruct the entire photograph from that fragment. Well, each of us, especially in intimate relationships like family or friends, very close friends, we're all sharing the same kind of events, but we see it from a different point of view. Like, again, we go back to the situation with pregnancy. It's a pretty momentous, usually happy event, but the father looking at that event, assuming that everything else is going well, he will have dreams, depending on the trimester of his partner, dreams of he's going to be having to work harder. He'll have more dreams about money. He'll have dreams about building houses, structures, those kinds of things. Whereas the woman during that trimester, she is not.
Oh, you still there? Let me try one more time. Are you with us there, Edward? Nope. We'll have you call him back, Tommy, and lock him back in. But let's go to some of the phones. Though I'm not the expert to answer it, we'll give you a try. East of the Rockies, we go to you, Brian, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bri, hopefully we'll get him back on soon.
How you doing, George?
Good, Brian. Did you have a strange dream?
Yes, and it's nice to talk to you again. I tried to call you a couple of days after your birthday to wish you a happy
birthday.
And I'm glad that your event in Everett, Washington was a success.
Yeah,
I knew it would be.
That was fun.
Yeah, about a month ago, I had a dream that it was almost like I was watching one of those old 8mm films. And on the film, I saw a massive explosion. And I can't really characterize what kind of an explosion it was. It was just, it was big. But then the dream kind of just, then all of a sudden I'm on the street and I'm walking down the street and there's all these buses going by. And these buses were white in color. And the bus stopped next to me and door opened and it looked like it was a military person with a weapon, and he told me to get on the bus. And I got on the bus, and there was lots of people on this bus. So it we ended up going to this facility, and you know how dreams are kind of like, you can't really, pinpoint every detail.
That's right.
There's like a lot of like things kind of missing, like you jump from one frame to another. But we went into this facility and there was a bunch of people in the facility, but everyone on my bus, including myself, we were told by this military gentleman that there was a mass conscription going on, and that everyone on the bus was going to be trained as federal prison guards.
When this was going on in the dream state, what was your perception later?
My perception of it?
Yeah, what do you think was going on?
I don't know. Like I said, it's been bothering me because it happened like a month ago, and it just seemed to be a mass conscription, like almost like you didn't really have a choice, you know, almost like there was a crisis.
Almost like people were round up and put into camps and things like that?
Well, they weren't really camps. They were more like training facilities. And it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't, you know, we were taken against our will, but they didn't really mean us any harm. Of course, I don't know, you know.
Were they military types or law enforcement types?
No, these were military.
Military.
They had military uniforms, and they had Kevlar helmets, rifles, and he said, get on the bus, and there was lots of people on the bus, men and women. And when we got to the facility, they just said, you are all going to be trained as federal prison guards.
Interesting. Have you had these kinds of clairvoyant dreams before of something impending?
Well, I remember when I talked to you back in May, George, I was telling you about the massive flood dreams I was having, which I have them. Those are definitely the most frequent dreams I have. Either that or I have dreams a lot about tornadoes, you know, multiple ones.
I've had some of those too, strange ones.
Yeah, you can't even, you know, and I have, you can't even count how many twisters are on the ground when I have these dreams. It's like, you can't get away from them. And, but yeah, that dream just really, because I never had a dream like that.
Does it bother you?
I
mean, like it eats away at you?
Well, I woke up, they actually, as soon as we got, as soon as they told us what we were going to be trained in, we went, we were in this line, and in this line you got uniforms and you got a badge. And I could even describe the badge, what it looked like, because, you know, we're all looking at these badges saying, oh, you know, this is kind of cool, you know, but there was a bunch of people in this facility. I don't know if they were all being trained for the same things. I just know that the military gentleman who was kind of like standing there next to the driver, who was also dressed in a military uniform.
And how real did this feel to you?
Very real. I mean, it was just, I mean, after I saw my badge, after I was looking at it, it was actually like in a wallet. That's when I woke up, and I was just like, well, what was that all about? You know, because, you know, and I wrote the dream down, and because I think sometimes if you're watching something on TV when you fall asleep, it can have effect on your dream state.
Oh, no doubt. Brian, hold on to that dream. Keep that, because you may be onto something, because things are happening in a very strange way around this planet right now, stranger than anything I have felt in a long, long time. Let's take one more call, then a break. We're still trying to find Edward Bynum. He was gone off into his dream state or something. Let's go to Lois in Pitt Meadows, Canada. Hi, Lois. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I have a dream to tell you.
Okay.
In 1943, I was 17 years old, to do the math. I'm 91.
Wow, you sound much younger than 91, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't have any lines on my face either, so I'm holding my own.
Good for you.
My brother was killed about, he had one flight more to make before he got his wings. Anyway, he crashed. Oh. He got caught in a downdraft, and the plane, he lost control of it, and he crashed.
Single engine plane?
Yes. Yeah. It was a Cessna.
Yeah.
And so my parents went to the wing ceremony, and my mother had it in her head that the plane had burnt. They tried to convince her that the plane had not burnt. Anyway, going ahead, we had a few guests down at our summer cottage.
Lois, I want you to hold on, because we have to hit this break. It's a local break we got to get, but we're going to come right back to you to finish that story, okay? And welcome back to Coast as we talk about your dreams. I love these dream stories they do. And by the way, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, author of Encyclopedia of Dreams, she's an expert when it comes to dreams, was one of our invited special guests at the Everett Washington event. Rosemary, I hope you had fun coming up to say hi to everybody who just adores you.
I just loved it, George. It's always great to be on the stage with you. And people in the audience came up to me later in the evening and chatted with me about, you know, some of the projects that I'm doing. It was a wonderful evening. Great show, as always.
Yeah, that was fun. Packed house, too. Wasn't that something?
Sold out. It was fantastic.
We got to do that again. Rosemary, we've got callers who have incredible dream stories. I'm going to go back to Lois in Pitt Meadows, Canada, and maybe you can give them some advice here after you hear their dreams in the time that we have remaining. Go ahead, Lois. I'll let you pick up that story.
All right. Yes, my brother was killed. His remains are brought home. Of course, the coffin was sealed. And my mother thought, persisted, in fact, that was because he had burned to death. Nothing could convince him that he hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this dream, and we were down at our summer cottage. We were entertaining people, and my mother started bemoaning the fact again about my brother being burnt. And I pushed myself away from the table thinking, I can't listen to this anymore. So I went down to the edge of the beach, and I was skipping stones into the lake, like my brother and I used to do.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and my brother walked over the water to me, and he was in full flying outfit, and I said, Lloyd, please, come on home and talk to Mom. And he said, no, he said, I can't. But tell my mother, tell mom that the plane did not burn. With that, I turned on my heel and walked away. But that dream has been carved in my memory.
Wow. Now, did you tell your mother that? Did she believe you?
I told her that, and she never mentioned it again.
Now, Rosemary, what kind of a dream was that? She dreams of her brother who tragically died in a plane crash, but got answers to questions that the family had had.
Well, one explanation that I would immediately think of was that this was a genuine visit from her departed brother. And these dreams are far more common than most people realize. The dead can visit us in our dreams, and they will often come back to reassure us that something is all right. This is a message that was very pointed. It has aspects of that otherworldly feel. You know, he comes across the water. The dead will often say that they can't do things. Like he said he couldn't go home and tell the mother, but mm-hmm. The message could be relayed through her. I have a book called Dream Messages from the Afterlife that goes into all of these kinds of dream visits. And this is a wonderful example of that. They're very reassuring. They bring comfort. They bring closure.
They sure do. Lois, thank you for that, and thanks for sharing it. Jeff is in Christmas Valley, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Jeff. You're on with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can, Jeffrey.
Okay, great. I'd like to share two stories of two dreams, if I could.
Sure.
The first one happened 3 weeks ago, and I thought it was pretty profound. I fell asleep, and the following day we had to go to town and all that. But during the night, I dreamed that I looked out the window, and I live out in the desert, you know, Central Oregon out here. But I looked out the window, and we get these little skinny tornadoes. And I'd never actually seen one,
mm-hmm.
but in my dream, I look out the window and there's one, and it's coming towards the house. And the second part of that dream was I'm in the bathtub, and my wife says, it's here. And I said, the tornado? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, pray that it doesn't take down the greenhouse. And that was that dream. And the other part of the dream was, the very first part of the dream was that, I was with a friend and I bought, a fuselage and, kind of a remnant of a framework of an airplane on a trailer. And I was looking at it and talking about it with a friend. And when I woke up in the morning, I told my wife about it. I said, you want to hear my dream? You know, I said, in my dream, I bought this airplane on a trailer and I told her about the tornadoes that I saw. Anyway, so we have to go to town and we go to Bend, and Bend's, you know, 90 miles away. And we're driving down through a town, which is Christmas Valley, and we drive past the cafe. And I look over at the cafe as we're driving past, and here's this airplane fuselage sitting on a trailer in front of the cafe. And I said, Don, I said, that's the plane from my dream. I said, that's almost exactly the same thing that I saw in my dream. And, yeah, she looks over and she goes, yeah, whatever. So so we continue out of town, and we get about maybe 8 miles out of town, and we have to go through this whole S-turn, and everything else is just straight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going down the highway, and I look off to the driver's side, and I had never seen one before, except in my dream the night before. And there's one of these dust devil tornadoes that's about maybe, I don't know, a half a mile or three quarters of a mile tall. And it's, just wavering, off the side. And I said, Don, I said, that's a tornado from my dream.
Jeez.
And she looks over and she goes, yeah, whatever.
What would some of the significance of this be, Rosemary?
Well, we often have what I call little precognitions, little in that we foresee events that are going to happen to us. They're not big disaster precognitions, like some people dream of big, horrible events about to come. But people dream and preview things that they're going to see or do quite frequently, and unless we pay attention to our dreams, we may not realize it. And these dreams may just have the significance of alerting us to the fact that dreams can look into the future. However, I would like to say this about the tornado dream, that there could be a multiple meaning to it. Dreams are often layered.
And being in the tub during the tornado, that's strange, in a dream.
Yes. And so dreams have multiple meanings sometimes. So there could be another meaning for the tornado dream especially. And disturbances in the air or natural disasters, storms, often reflect something going on in our personal life, like a storm coming toward a house.
Right. Okay, good point.
Point to some sort of difficulty in the home situation. And being in a bathtub can often represent, it's a desire to get clean of something, to clean out something, or for safety, because when a storm comes, we often are told to go to a place like a bathroom.
Tubs are one of the safest places to be during a tornado.
Exactly. So the dream could be pointing to refuge or safety for some sort of storm coming that will affect the home situation. And air storms often relate to communication issues. So I throw that out as a possibility. The dreamer still has to relate these things to what's going on in his life to see if they have any resonance. But both dreams are fine examples of the way we can preview things that are going to happen to us the next day or the next week.
Let's go to Donna in Benson, North Carolina. Welcome to the program, Donna.
Hi, George. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi there.
I've got a story that I think y'all get a kick out of.
Okay.
I had a friend, he had a dog named Ringo. And a friend of his, an old black man, told him, said, when dog's dreaming, if you want to have the same dream that dog's dreaming, get something out from under his head and put it under your pillow.
Huh.
And you'll dream the same dream the dog's dreaming. And so I asked him, I said, well, did you do it? He said, the next time he came up on Ringo, he said Ringo was lying out in the yard, and he was having a fearful dream. And he said he snuck a rock out from under Ringo's head, and he put it under his pillow.
A rock, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And put it under his pillow. And I said, well, did you dream anything? And he said, yeah, he said that night, my friend said he dreamt that he got his head stuck, caught in a fence.
Huh. Now, I've never heard of a dream like that, Rosemary. Have you?
I have not, but
that's something
I do
for
have
another
something
book.
I can relate it to. It's interesting that we might be able to, like, cross-dream with animals. My husband, Joe, had a cat that was a dream cat, and if this cat slept near your head at night, you would have very happy, peaceful dreams. So who knows what the cat was dreaming, but whatever the cat was dreaming, it had an effect on a human, and more than one person experienced this with the cat. So maybe it works the same way with dogs, that we can have some sort of a cross-dreaming with them if we do certain things.
That's great. By the way, Joe is such a delight, Rosemary. He is so supportive of your work and what you do. You've got a great relationship there.
Oh, he's the ideal partner, I'll tell you, George.
Let's go to Bill in Utah, truck driving there. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? I wanted to ask a question about the, if you've ever heard of the Achuar tribe, in the Amazon. They believe that they have the shared belief that when they're dreaming, that is their true life. And then I guess when they're back awake, this is the dream. And, this belief has got me wondering about the recent proposal that there is a mirror universe to ours, because, entropy, in our universe, we're expanding towards entropy. So the thing is, in the mirror universe, it is contracting towards entropy. Okay, in other words, it's all coming together, whilst we're all becoming disparate and flung apart. So what I'm wondering about, is it possible that our dreams are giving us a glimpse into this mirror universe where time is supposedly running backwards?
Good question.
Well, the belief that dreaming is the real reality is found around the world in various cultures, and even going back to ancient times. When we dream, we are unbounded by space and time. So we are in an alternate reality. And our dreams can give us access to alternate realities, which could include something like a mirror reality, a mirror universe, or parallel dimension, or the astral plane, or the threshold of the afterlife. Many people have journeys into these other realities when they sleep, and they're quite lucid experiences. I think this is one reason why we need to pay attention to our dreams, because they give us access to far more than just the subconscious.
Well, they sure do. And they're very powerful. How did you get involved, Rosemary, in dream interpretation?
It was because of psychic experiences in my family. My mother had a lot of precognitive dreams, and some of them were quite disturbing to her because they were of the death and disaster nature, bad things that would happen to people and to, bad events that were coming. And so they were very distressing to her, and she shared some of them with me when I got old enough to understand it, when I was in my early teens. But I was fascinated by that, the idea that we could dream the future in an accurate way intrigued me, and I wanted to learn more about dreams. So I started studying dreams and started practicing techniques for projecting myself out of body during dreams, sending messages, looking into the future, with enough success to convince me that this was an amazing reality. And that really propelled me into a lifelong study of dreams.
Next up, we go to Mark in Sacramento, California. Welcome to the show, Mark, west of the Rockies. Hi, Mark.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Hi.
Rosemary has a question. Am I weird? I've never had a nightmare. I can only remember one. And it was just, all I did was misplace my family. And
Is he weird? He doesn't have nightmares.
Well, most people do have nightmares, but a nightmare is actually very subjective, because what one person considers a nightmare, another person might not. And nightmares usually have a purpose of helping us resolve something that has gone way out of balance in life. So it's quite possible, Mark, that you've just kept your life in pretty good equilibrium.
Huh.
And, the dreams don't have to do any course correction.
Right. And don't beg for nightmares, to be sure. Charlene in Dayton, Ohio. Let's get you in, Charlene. Go ahead. Hi there.
How are you?
Good.
I have this reoccurring dream where I'm trying to dial a telephone, but I can never get the number. And I keep dialing and dialing, and you get frustrated with it. And the other is, why is it that there are sometimes during certain weeks or something, I dream numbers, and these numbers fall out into the lottery?
Well, that's pretty good. That's interpretive. That's precognitive. But these numbers you're dialing and you're not dialing them, is it anybody specific you're trying to reach?
It's mostly family members. And I keep dialing, I keep messing the number up, and I said, well, let's try again.
Are you trying to get them out of some kind of emergency or just regular calls?
Just regular dreams.
All right, what do you think, Rosemary?
Well, recurring dreams usually indicate an anxiety or stress issue that's unresolved, and they reoccur during certain stress situations in life or until something is resolved. And telephones are symbols of communication. And here we have dreams related to communicating with family members. So if I had that dream, I would be looking at, where's my communication out of whack with somebody in the family? Why can't I get through to them? And I think that, Charlene, you'll find some very interesting material there that will shed some light on what's going on with your relationships. As for numbers in the lottery, yes, people do dream numbers in the lottery. I once had a dream where I won 5 out of 6 numbers in a lottery. It happened once and never again.
Only has to happen once if you hit a big one, huh?
It's very strange when it comes to the lottery that people are always trying to forecast numbers and find surefire ways. But whatever forces are in motion when it comes to picking lottery numbers, no one's ever landed on a surefire method, no matter what they experiment with.
Rosemary, what's your next project you're working on?
Well, for Halloween, I have a book on werewolves and dogmen coming out. I've just put the finishing touches on it. And I'm working on a book on ET contact experiences and the transformations that people go through when they have contact with an alien form of life.
Super. Rosemary, of course, is also my partner in the book called Talking to the Dead, where she did amazing research into that book. We're going to be back in a moment. Dead on arrival. What's that all about? Stick around and find out.